Last night we were at dinner, and I don't know what prompted me, but I grabbed my phone and I just haven't been able to get into, I couldn't figure out where I'm supposed to go with this back half of chapter 1 and chapter 2 of 1 Samuel. I just could not. You guys ever, you ever get to reading your Bible and you just can't engage? If you're not raising your hand, you're lying. I just couldn't. I was like, something's, I just can't seem to. Well, if you read 5 Psalms a day, you can get through the book of Psalms every month. It's 150 chapters, and so often I will just pull up what the 5 would be for that day. And again, I don't know what prompted me last night at dinner, but I, because I, we, when we go to dinner, we don't just sit and read the Bible. I'm sure you think that's what we do as pastors. We just sit and read the Bible together, and actually, we never read the Bible together. So any of you wives out there who are holding your husbands hostage because you don't read the Bible together, get off it, because that's not reality. James Dobson is not telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. You're wired different than your wife. And so, praise the Lord. Just make sure he's reading his Bible. And you read your Bible, and then we'll be, then we'll see what's what, right? But I have started reading Psalm chapter 112, which would be the second chapter of the day today, if you were reading 5 a day. And it just was, it just blessed my heart. And I thought, well, Lord, I guess you just had me land there because that's where we're going tonight. We're just going to read about a blessed life. Psalm 112. I love how it opens. It just opens up by saying, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for a family that is changed forever. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord for a single mom whose life is changed forever. Praise the name of the Lord. I remember when she called and was looking for a ticket. And if it wasn't for people who were willing to sponsor someone who needed to be here, then she wouldn't have been here. Praise the Lord for somebody who's willing to do that. I think that's awesome. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord and who find great delight in his commands. The psalmist is probably speaking from personal experience here. First-hand knowledge, being blessed. How do you want a blessed life? Well, he gives us 2 criteria right out of the gates. You want a blessed life? Fear the Lord. It's kind of a, you know, you fear the Lord, then you don't have to fear the Lord, right? If you don't fear the Lord, then you have to fear the Lord. You catch that? And then second is those who find great delight in his commands. Do you find great delight in his commands? Most people don't. That's against our human nature. Don't tell me what to do. How dare you tell me what to do? I don't have to be baptized. I was baptized as an infant. Then you weren't really baptized based on what the Bible has to say. Should I be rebaptized? No, you should be baptized. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord and who find great delight in his command. So what can you expect if you make those 2 things priorities in your life? Well, this chapter in Psalm 112 will tell us, look at it. Their children will be mighty in the land, and the generation of the upright will be blessed. Your family will be blessed. Realize that? When you delight in the Lord, when you fear the Lord and you delight in the ways of the Lord, then your family will be blessed. You'll be blessed. Your family will be blessed. Look at it. It says generations will be blessed. In the circles, the Pentecostal circles and charismatic circles, you might have heard this. Often I've heard those are cursed to the third generation. You're cursed. Sins of the Father, you're cursed, right? comes right out of the Bible, Exodus. It's the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20. But they stop there, unfortunately. Generational curses can be broken if you serve the Lord. Look at it. It says, punishing the children of the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generations. Woe of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. I'm going to tell you about, I don't know about you, I'd rather focus on that side, right? Why in the world would we spend any time at all wondering what happens if you hate God? How about let's focus on loving God? You know, you can be as close to the Lord as you want to. Every single one of us, Josh said it back in January, he was speaking to us, every single one of us in this room have as much Jesus as you want. But you can know him more if you want to. Draw near to me, and what? I'll draw near to you, James says, right? Verse 3, look at this. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Now, prosperity preaching has kind of a bad rap, right, Ron? But I'm not wearing a sequin jacket here tonight. Did you know that the Lord wants to bless you? I mean, what God would want us to be scrimping around looking for scraps? Truly, that doesn't make any sense at all. Now, does that mean that if you love God, you're going to be, you know, a millionaire? No, we're not talking about that. But God wants to bless you. And if you follow his ways and you follow his commands and you fear the Lord and you put him as Lord of your life, then I'm telling you, there's a blessing there for that, isn't it, Shane? It's amazing what happens when you put the precepts of the Lord into your life. And their righteousness endures forever. Now, the flip side is the other. Look at Malachi chapter 3. It says, will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. That's a conversation that he's having with his people. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you're robbing me. I'm not sure that pastors delivered that part of the message as much as they go to the next part. And they want to talk about tithing. And yes, tithing is absolutely biblical. It's absolutely scriptural. Jesus could have blown it away if he wanted to with the widow's mite the night before he was betrayed. But he didn't. He goes on to say, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. I have to tell you, as I was talking to Shane and Nicole before service, she's talking to me about what's going on in their life and giving me this letter and everything. And she pulls out an envelope and she says, this is our first tithe check. And she said, I want to give it to you. And I said, well, just go put it in the mailbox. Do it yourself. Praise the Lord. Man, that's somebody saying, you know what, Lord, if this is what you say I'm going to do, well, instead of arguing with you, I think I'll just do what you say, and then we'll just see what happens. Six blessings that come in the next few chapters, a few verses. It's crazy. Just test me on this. See if I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there won't be enough room for it. I'll prevent pests from devouring your crops. Maybe you won't have people break into your car or break into your house. You never know. Maybe your shoes just, you mean these Chuck Taylors that are made terribly. I don't know how. It's no wonder the old NBA players have knee replacements all over the place. They had to wear these shoes in the 60s and 70s. But these have been lasting me for years. Your vines in the fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe. The nations will call you blessed. Yours will be delightful land. Man, that's promises. Call it what you want. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. You sow strife, you get strife. You sow joy, you get joy. I tell you what we're living in right now. I was having lunch with Eric today. And I said, dude, the divine unity in this church that we are living in right now is an example of sowing unity. We have been sowing unity in the leadership and the body of this church for the last year, and I'm just telling you what, we are reaping unity after unity after unity after unity. This whole weekend was nothing but smiles. I mean, there was no stress going on at all, except my wife as she was preparing to preach for the first time. And you know what? She got up here, and she was having so much fun, she kept coming and grabbed the mic. Telling everybody that she wanted to kill me. It was so funny. Careful, you reap what you sow. Even in darkness, look at this, verse 4. What's a blessed life? It doesn't mean you won't have trouble. You hear that? In this life, you will have trouble. I tell you these things, Jesus said, because in me you can have peace, because in this life you will have trouble. John 16, 33. But take heart, because I've overcome the world. That's the truth. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. Somebody needs to hear that tonight. Even in darkness, Lee. Even in darkness, Brett. Even in darkness, Brittany. What? Light dawns for the upright. That's a promise from the Lord. Amen. For those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. You sow graciousness, compassion, and righteousness, and what do you get? Light dawning in the darkness. Even in darkness, light will dawn if you're sowing those things. A blessed life. Look at verse 5. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, and who conduct their affairs with justice. Our friend Ryan, who is on his way to Kenya, Africa, left with $1,000 more than he needed. Every dollar he needed plus $1,000 went before him. And I'm telling you, if that's not an encouragement, he was scared to death and yet willing to pay that price himself. And we prayed for him and we sent him off without a worry out there. And what happened? His flight got canceled last night. He had a layover in Minneapolis. He got deferred for about 24 hours. But I tell you what, he's probably smiling ear to ear. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, Laura, we have a generous church. We have a generous church. And good will come to those who are generous and lend freely and who conduct their affairs with justice. Amen. God blesses generosity. We have a very generous church, and God blesses us. If you are, you know, some of the, I'll tell you what, the most miserable people are stingy people. I mean, what's the word? Stingy. They're stingy people. It just makes you angry to say it. It makes me drink. Brah. And some of the stingiest people in church are long-term Christians, right? That's what we love. That's what we love our church here. A bunch of people who love Jesus and are thankful for his redemption power. Amen. Don't be stingy. Even, you know, you're clenching up like that. That's not pleasant. You can't sleep like this. No, you need to be generous. Amen. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. Wasn't that the theme of the weekend? She will not be shaken. You know what that speaks to? Stability. And if you're stable, look at it. You will be remembered forever. Think about my dad. He's 82. And I tell you, he is a rock. He is stable. And if I've got problems and I call him, I know what I'm going to hear. Well, we'll just pray about it. No, I want to do something. As if prayer is doing nothing, right? Well, we'll just pray about it. Because he knows the Lord is faithful and he will take care of those who are his. Amen? Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever as stable people. How will you be remembered? Look at this, verse 7. They will have no fear of bad news. I tell you these things so that in me you can have peace, because in this life you will have trouble. A righteous person, someone who fears the Lord, someone who loves his commands, someone who is standing before the Lord every single day. God, my life is a coin. Spend it however you want. I will have no fear of bad news. My heart is steadfast because I am trusting the Lord. Amen. That's a good word. That is a good word. Their hearts are secure. Worship team can come. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph over their foes. Are you in trouble today? Are you in trouble today? Some of you in here are. And you wonder, is God real? Does God hear me? Can God come through? Will he see me through this? God, don't you see what I'm up against? Don't you see this person? Are you faithful? The answer is yes. He sees you. He knows exactly where you are. He knows every role player in this deal. Do you fear the Lord? Do you love his commands? Because when you do, here's the deal. You say, God, here's this bill. I guess I can't pay for it. I guess you're going to have to pay it. God, here's this problem. Look at my life. You don't work and live for the Lord for salvation. You work and you live for the Lord because of salvation. I am overflowing with thanksgiving, Paul says, because you saved my soul. There's nothing I could ever do to earn salvation, and you give it freely. What can I do to repay you? Well, I tell you what, I'm going to give you this instruction manual on how to have a blessed life. And if you read it, and you absorb it, and you follow it, then I'm telling you, day by day, when trouble comes, you won't fear. When things come at you, it's okay. I'm stable. I'm steadfast. God will bless me. He will do what he has said he will do because I trust the Lord. Verse 9, you see a recurring theme here? They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. If you were here second service, is Peggy Sue here tonight? Peggy Sue had a colonoscopy or a procedure on April 20th. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Her mother died of colon cancer, and it was a very similar report she got. She sent a prayer request, came forward every Sunday in between. 2 weeks ago, Monday, she went back for a colonoscopy completely clear. Completely clear. She went to the market to get some items for her daughter, and Jen told her about Without Limits because her grandson, her daughter's son, had just been diagnosed with autism. So her daughter came the next week, last Sunday, and she went to the market and she got food, and somebody walked the food to her car after service, prayed with her. The next day, her husband got a job for more money than what he was making, full benefits for their family. And then what happened this past Sunday, she comes back and she brings her kids, because we have Without Limits to take care of children who need somebody that can. See, what happens is when the family comes together and we live a blessed life and we love his commands. We follow what his word says. We fear him so we don't have to fear him. And we just put these things in action, and what happens? The word of God is true, true, true. They freely scattered their gifts. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn. Did you bring the shofar?
Okay,
we don't have a shofar.
You're sitting next to my tambourine.
Their horn will be lifted high in honor. Praise the Lord. Generosity. Be generous, people. That's three times. If the Bible says it three times, then we really need to pay attention to it. The end is kind of abrupt. It's a warning, but at the same time, I believe it's an encouragement. Somebody in here is in the midst of a battle, and you're wondering if God is. And you're wondering how come they are getting away with it. And here's the word. The wicked will see and be vexed. They will gnash their teeth and waste away. That's the truth. It doesn't say you will. No, it says you'll be blessed for generations. It says people will talk about you for generations. It says God's going to take care of you. And your enemies will gnash their teeth because they can't do anything about it. And they'll waste away, and the longings of the wicked will come to nothing. Praise the Lord. If I could just add one thing to the end of this psalm, if we could just add verse 11, how about this? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.